Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michelle Richardson, who's a legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, focusing on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government and congressional accountability and oversight. Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers Jr. and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights, and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michelle Richardson.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Michelle, the ruling by Judge Leon caught many by surprise, and particularly that given that he's a conservative judge, and of course the plaintiff in the case was the conservative Judicial Watch group headed by Larry Klayman. Early in the program, we were discussing it, and then we also discussed the meeting at the White House with all the tech giants who are complaining about losing business because of blowback about NSA spying in the business world. What's your sense in terms of going forward here? Are people like yourself concerned about the evisceration of the Fourth Amendment and the government intrusion on our private lives? Do you think we're on a roll here?
Yes. The last 6 months have really demonstrated how far our government has gone in the post-9/11 era and how much information they're collecting on us as everyday Americans who haven't done anything wrong and have no ties to terrorism whatsoever. But the more information that comes out, the more people are getting outraged, the more Congress feels empowered to finally look into these programs, get answers, and maybe make changes. And, you know, the last week or two has actually been fantastic. As you mentioned, the major tech companies issued an open letter requesting that privacy be reinserted to our surveillance laws. It's the first time since 9/11 and the passage of the Patriot Act and all of these advances that the companies have weighed in at all on this issue. So they're welcome to the debate, and we're very happy to see reports that today's meeting with the president, you know, they really weighed in on the NSA issue, even though he tried to change the subject to healthcare reform and the healthcare website. The court opinion from yesterday also was very welcome. It's unprecedented. You know, these programs operate in secret, and it's been impossible for anyone to challenge them substantively. The courts have not been ruling on the merits on these cases. So this is the first time a real federal judge in the open was able to evaluate the programs, and he found it was unconstitutional. This will definitely empower Congress to recommend changes coming up here in the new year.
So, Michelle Richardson, do you think then that obviously this ruling does not stop the NSA from doing what it's doing in terms of bulk collection? However, when the government appeals and it goes to the court and it has its day in court, is that when the Congress is going to be emboldened and the public are going to be educated?
Yes. Well, this is one of several cases around the country on this phone records program under the Patriot Act. The ACLU has a case up in New York. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has a case out in California, and there's another one in Idaho. So there are going to be a number of courts ruling on this measure, and we feel optimistic that they will come out in the same way. Of course, the government will be appealing these sorts of decisions, and we'll get higher court rulings. I think right now this is the only court to squarely weigh in on the constitutionality of these programs outside of the secret FISA court process that they've created, which is really just a closed system that doesn't hear both sides of the arguments. And, this will lead to change. You know, Congress always feels inadequate in overruling the administration on national security issues. And especially since 9/11, they've been very deferential to the executive branch. But now having the courts weigh in, I think it gives them a little more support. And we're hoping that some excellent legislation will pass this coming year.
Again, I'm speaking with Michelle Richardson, who's a legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, focusing on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government and congressional accountability and oversight. Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers Jr. and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights, and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. Now, in a statement distributed by Glenn Greenwald from Edward Snowden that was published in the New York Times, Edward Snowden has praised Judge Leon's ruling against the National Security Agency's phone surveillance programs and applauded the judge for bringing the issue to the light of day. Conversely, the Bush administration's former UN Ambassador John Bolton on Fox News said that Edward Snowden should be hanged from the neck, I think something like high in an oak tree. I guess that's a reference to the American Western frontier. How does that kind of rhetoric strike you?
Well, I think a lot of commentators really just can't justify the program, so they attack the messenger here and are trying to change the debate from whether the American government should spy on its citizens to whether what Snowden did was correct or not. We think the most important thing to focus on now is having a meaningful public debate with real information and, you know, squarely dealing with this question. Do we want our government to spy on us without cause? Do we want the NSA to become this black hole of our digital information that they can use as they see fit? And we think the answer at the end of this process will be no. It looks like it will take congressional intervention, though, most likely. The administration has defended these practices. The FISA court has signed off on it. And really, without congressional intervention, it's going to be very unlikely that these programs are reined in.
So, Michelle, can you tell us then about the case that you brought? You said there's a case in Idaho, there's a case, I think, in San Francisco from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the ACLU, have a case in New York. What's the nature of this case?
Yes. Well, we are Verizon customers. So when that first document was leaked that showed the court order to Verizon, we realized that we could sue on our own behalf. And that's what we almost immediately did. It was just a matter of days. And we filed up in New York, where our national office is, and on our own behalf. And we, like Klayman, argued, you know, that this violates the Constitution, and even that it wasn't statutorily authorized, that they'd gone outside what Congress had even intended this authority to be in the first place. And so we already briefed it, and there were oral arguments just a few weeks ago, and we are waiting for a ruling, but we don't know when that will come down yet.
And the Electronic Frontier case, do you know anything about that? I think I spoke with the lawyer about it, but could you refresh my memory on that?
Yeah, the EFF case is on behalf of a number of political advocacy and religious organizations, people who have their records collected up in these programs somewhere, especially in this incredibly broad scope they have in the post 9/11 world. And so it is on behalf of those clients, and they're making the same arguments that this program is not allowed under the statute and that it's unconstitutional.
And the Idaho case?
Same. It is brought on behalf of just a Verizon customer, a woman who was greatly offended by the program. She, too, has challenged it. It's not clear when we'll get more rulings. Perhaps this will encourage the courts to go ahead and get moving, and we're hoping that across the board we'll get the same sort of rebukes in the other cases.
So, Michelle, what's your sense of how the Senate has reacted? Harry Reid, who I think ultimately is going to have a lot of say in what happens to the laws in this case and how much this court case is going to affect the laws or affect those in the Senate in particular who want to change it. You seem to have Leahy, who's already put forward, the head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, he's already put forward a bill to basically stop the NSA from doing metadata collection. You have Dianne Feinstein, on the other hand, who's defended the NSA all along and saying that this program's indispensable. She seems to be wavering a little bit on this. And also, of course, Ron Wyden, who's been a fairly courageous critic of the NSA on the Intelligence Committee. Of course, he's hamstrung because he can't really tell what he knows, which is one of the weird, you know, it's that notion of being the piano player in the whorehouse, you know, there's a sort of surreal quality to the way the Intelligence Committee operates. How do you interpret what's going on in the Senate?
Well, we have two competing visions in the Senate right now. One is the Feinstein vision of giving congressional approval to domestic spying. And she wrote a bill. It passed out of her Intelligence Committee, and it in no uncertain terms said, you can do this bulk mass collection of American information, get their communication records and clarify. It also implies the internet information also, as long as there are some very paltry privacy protections after the fact, basically writing current practice into stone without adding any new requirements to minimize the collection of this information or put more privacy protections on it. On the other side, you have the Wydens and the Leahys and others who have a progressive view of where this should go. Now, their bill does not flat out repeal all those surveillance laws that have passed in the last 12 years. They do go in and say that domestically you need to have at least some connection to a terrorism investigation. It has to be the records of a suspected terrorist or his associates, but there's no more of this just dragnet of collecting everything you can. Now, Leahy and Feinstein, you know, they are heavy hitters in the Senate. They've both been around for decades, and we'll have to see how this approach shakes out. It's incredibly important that people contact their senators and their members in the House. Let them know that you support the USA Freedom Act, that you want your senator and representative to sponsor the bill, and hopefully we'll build enough support for a true reform effort.
And whose bill is the USA Freedom Act?
The USA Freedom Act is Senator Leahy in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, Representative Sensenbrenner in the House.
He's the author of the Patriot Act, isn't he?
Yeah. And we have a much better case going right now in the House, and we're hoping that actually they move first. Over in the House, that bill has over 100 co-sponsors, including half of them Republican offices. You know, and some of these are old school Republicans who have been around for years but said, you know what, this has gone too far. We thought we were giving new authorities, but we didn't know they'd be turned on everyday Americans, and it's time to rein it in. So you see bipartisan support over there for reform. And, you know, this summer, a vote was forced by Justin Amash from Michigan, a sophomore member with a more Tea Party bent. And, you know, he only was 7 votes away from passing an amendment to defund these programs altogether. So over there, it's much more volatile. We're only a few votes away. We think if the vote like that were to happen tomorrow, we would win it. So we're going to push to get this process started and get the House and Senate moving early next year. We're very mindful that we're coming into an election year, and at some point mid-year, they're going to stop considering anything substantive, and people will be in re-election mode. And so we really need people to reach out to their congressional delegations now, get this bill moving in January as soon as they return.
So just in closing, Michelle Richardson, what's your sense then of, we've talked about where we stand in both in the House and the Senate in terms of this battle between protecting privacy and national security. So let's talk about the media, because the media obviously has an important role here. And so far, I'm not sure that the media has been a great advocate, even you think they would be, for the First Amendment and for privacy. For example, 60 Minutes did a real softball piece on the NSA, which a lot of media critics and journalists were appalled by. What's your reading on? Because it seems that the mantra that comes out of the NSA is trust us, trust us, trust us, but they won't give any details. You know, it's just like a blanket trust that we're expected to have. Do you have a critique of the media?
Yeah, I think a lot of mainstream publications have not done a very deep dive on these issues. They aren't asking the hard questions. The administration very clearly here is playing word games and hiding the ball. And so they can make very generic statements like, don't worry, we're not targeting any specific American for surveillance. You don't see the footnote that all those words have very special meanings, and they aren't even denying that they spy on everyday Americans. And the press often does not push them on it with well-documented facts that even the administration has publicly released documentation on now. The debate has been limited in some ways by a failure to get out real information about how extensive these programs are. These are complicated programs, but at the end of the day, the documents are out there. They can be read by journalists, and we hope they do, and that these word games don't distract them or convince them that there's not a problem here.
Well, Michelle Richardson, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Michelle Richardson, who's a legislative counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union Washington Legislative Office, focusing on national security issues such as the Patriot Act, warrantless surveillance and state secrets, open government and congressional accountability and oversight. Before coming to the ACLU, Michelle Richardson served as counsel to Representative John Conyers Jr. and the House Judiciary Committee, where she specialized in national security, civil and human rights and constitutional issues for the Democratic staff. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Alan Barker. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.